Uzziah, the Boy Kings of Judah, part two. Last week we had part one, and it was of his grandfather. And so we are going to be looking at Uzziah today. Now, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became the 10th king of Judah, and he reigned in Jerusalem some 52 years. And the Bible tells us that Uzziah became a very famous and was a great and prosperous king. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, all during the years of his mentor, a prophet named Zechariah. There's about 17 to 18 Zechariahs in the Bible. One got killed last week, so this is not him. But unfortunately, his pride and his arrogance against the things of the Lord led to his downfall. So there's a sad story we have to tell today about King Uzziah in part two of the Boy Kings of Judah. And as I was looking at the theme verse, if you will, from Proverbs 16 and verse 18, from the Christian Standard Bible Version, verse 18 says, "Pride comes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall." An arrogant spirit before a fall. And that reminded me of a story that I heard, and I thought I would look it up. It's about four people, passengers on a plane, but there was only three parachutes. And there was a hint of pride in this story. Maybe you'll figure it out as we tell it. See, there was a doctor, a lawyer, a little boy, and a preacher. They were out for a Sunday afternoon flight on a small private plane. Suddenly, the plane developed engine trouble. In spite of the best efforts of the pilot, the plane started to go down. Finally, the pilot grabbed the parachute, as was his prerogative, and he yelled to the passengers that they better jump, and he himself peeled out the plane. Unfortunately, for the four people, there were only three parachutes remaining. Well, the doctor, he grabbed one and said, "Look, I'm a doctor. I save lives, so I must live." And he jumped out. Then the lawyer said, "I'm a lawyer, and lawyers are the smartest people in the world. I deserve to live." He also grabbed a parachute and he jumped out the plane. Well, the preacher, he looked at the little boy and said, "My son, I've lived a long life, full. You are young and have your whole life ahead of you. Take this last parachute and live in peace." And the little boy handed the parachute back to the preacher and said, "Oh, not to worry, preacher. The smartest man in the entire world, he just took off my school backpack." Talking about a fall. Pride does come before. But there's a sad story with this story. He fell. And it wasn't like Humpty Dumpty, that they couldn't put him back together again. He fell from a peak in his life that he shouldn't have had to do that with. In our message today, there are three points. And if you would, I'd like to give them to you. Uzziah the boy, Kings of Judah part one. He was a promising king. He was a promising king. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 1 through 4. He was a promising king. Our second point, he was a prosperous king as long as he sought the Lord. This is key. He was a prosperous king as long as he sought the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 5 through 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 5 through 15, as well as Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Our third and last point, his pride led him to a fall. His pride led him to a fall. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 16 to the end of the chapter, verse 23. 2 Chronicles 26, verses 16 through 23. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. And once again, Proverbs, verse 16 and 18. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Our first point, he was a promising king. He was a promising king. Under Uzziah's reign, the kingdom of Judah experienced remarkable expansion and growth. Uzziah enjoyed the military victories against the enemies of God, the Philistines, the Arabs, and the Midianites, and subjugated the Ammonites, all of whom were enemies of Judah. Uzziah was famous for strengthening the wall of Jerusalem by introducing some miraculous machines. I've seen some of these on the movies. They were designed by experts to shoot arrows and throw large stones at the enemies who were approaching the city. He also prospered in farming, both livestock and fields and vineyards. This man had it all. He did it all. Look at verse 26. All the people took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father, Amaziah. Now, his father was the son of the king that we looked at last week. It says he was in place of his father. His father started out good. This is important because his dad ended up badly, right? But his father, somewhere along the way, he also turned to apostasy. And he brought in some idols. He was doing good for a long time. But he got assassinated by people. He made some bad military decisions. He did some dumb stuff. And his own people, they killed him. He thought he was going to escape. They brought him back. They killed him, brought him on a horse, draped over the horse. And that's when they took his son, Uzziah, who was 16 at the time. Now, 16 means you still don't get a driver's license in Virginia. You got to wait till you're 16 and a half. So you can imagine the whole world is now in the hands of this 16-year-old king. What is he going to do? How is he going to make it? How many of you would like to have a 16-year-old president in your life? I'm not going to ask you to answer that question. To all the 16-year-olds who may be in here, it ain't about you, brother. His His father, Amaziah, was the son of King Joash. When Amaziah was 25 years old, his father, King Joash, having committed a repulsive crime, was assassinated. And so Amaziah became king. And he started good, but he apostatized like his father, and he was killed. Verse 2 says, after Amaziah the king rested with his ancestors, Uzziah rebuilt Eloth and restored it to Judah. Now, let me tell you what that means. This place was a seaport on the Red Sea, and it became a great place in the territory of Edom. It named along with Ezion and Geber in the account of Israel's journey around the land of Edom in Deuteronomy. So this was a place that might have been troublesome at some point, but now it belonged to Judah. He rebuilt it. When I was 16 years old, maybe, the people who had done my father's house, trying to do some extra work on it and made it about twice the size as it originally was, they used up his money. And so I had to finish many of the things. I put carpet in the house, I put the back door up, put paneling on the new rooms, insulation in there. So even at 16, I began to do some construction work. And the only saw I had was a handsaw. And that door was hard to cut with a handsaw. Man, oh man. But he had that kind of ingenuity, that kind of go-get-it-ness in him. So he was not a lazy 16-year-old. He was someone who thought about things. He was innovative, and he became famous for the way that he approached life. 52 years he reigned. This was the longest reign in the entire kingdom of Judah. In verse 3. Then in verse 4 it says, catch this now. He did what was right. Where? In the sight of the Lord. They said the same thing about Joash. They said the same thing about his father. According to all that his father Amaziah had done, he paid attention to when his father did the right things. So he was brought up right. He started out right. He was brought up right. We've all seen times when people, celebrities, athletes, politicians, and even preachers, who have been famous, and seemingly they were on top of the world. We've seen them on the front covers of popular entertainment magazines. We've celebrated them on Twitter, follow them. Or maybe we've seen them on TV, on TMZ. People in the world have placed these people on a pedestal for all to see. Yet we've all been caught off guard by these famous personalities who fell from grace because of sex scandals, corruption charges, even murder. Richard Nixon, for those who are older, can remember him resigning under the taint of Watergate. Harvey Weinstein is a movie producer, I believe, and we saw him fall. Then you had Bill Cosby, great entertainer, number one TV show. He fell. Then there's O.J. Simpson, great athlete. I used to have an action figure, not a doll, an action figure of O.J. Simpson. He was the first man to get 2,000 yards rushing. And if you follow the career of O.J. Simpson, he was bad. But we all know what happened. He fell. We believe that he killed his wife and the man who came to bring her purse. Yet he was very arrogant in his ways. And like these great entertainers, politicians, and the world famous athletes who've fallen from greatness to failure, so goes our boy, King Uzziah. In our next point, we'll discover the source of what made this king great, prosperous, and famous before he lost his way. Our next point, he was a prosperous king as long as he sought the Lord. 2 Chronicles 26, 5 through 15, and Joshua 1 and verse 8. He was a prosperous king as long as he sought the Lord. Many of us are familiar with Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus made this statement. He had previously been talking about how even the birds of the air and so forth, they got fed. They received their raiment. And God is saying to people, Jesus said, look, seek the kingdom of God first, and those things will be yours to have. I'll give them to you. But first, you got to seek my kingdom. And this is very important in life for us to realize that it's God who is the secret. It's God who is the source behind King Uzziah's glorious success. See, he was a godly young man. We saw that in verse 4 when it says that he did what was right in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. But would you look at verse 5? It takes it even further. It says he sought the Lord. Now, this means he had a personal faith. His grandfather didn't have one. He lived off the coattails of his uncle, the high priest. But this guy, he personally sought God in the days of Zechariah, his mentor, who had understanding in the visions of God. But catch this, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. I told you, God's the reason behind his success, didn't I? This is what the Bible says. I didn't make that up. He sought the Lord in the days of his mentor, Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. This man was one who taught him about respecting and fearing God. He was his mentor. But as long as his mentor was living, he did all right. God made him to prosper in verse 5. God gave him success. Would you look at verses 6 through 7? You see, God is the one who helped him in a great way. Look at his feats. In verse 6, he went out to wage war against the Philistines, broke down the wall of Gath, that's over in the Philistines area, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and he built great cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. The Philistines were on the Mediterranean coast to the west. He came, and like David, he took them out. But it was God who made him prosper. Look at verse 7. Who helped him take out those enemies? God helped him. Didn't I tell you God's behind his success? God helped him against the Philistines. God helped him against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal and against the Midianites. God helped him to prosper. God helped him in a great way as we look at his feats. He became a dominant figure. Look at verse 8. The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. That means they gave him some money. They said, look, we will pay you a whole lot of money if you will just leave us alone. We see what you did to them other guys. We don't want you coming over here and doing it to us. So we're going to go ahead and pay you in advance if you just leave a brother alone. Look what it says. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. God made him very powerful. Look at verse 9. He became a creative builder. Verse 9 says that, and Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall, and then he fortified them. This is talking about the city of Jerusalem. These were certain areas in that complex. Would you look at verse 10? He also built towers. He had many cattle both in the Judean hills. He had much livestock in the lowlands and the plains. He had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains in Carmel, for he loved the soil. This was a guy, if he lived today, you would see him on TV all the time by how great he was. All right, he's the kind of guy you see on the magazine cover, Sexiest Man Alive, as they have it nowadays. I mean, he was 16. Come on, man. He was good looking. Everybody wanted to be like Uzziah. Just like everybody back in the 80s wanted to be like Mike. Verse 11 through 15. He became a mighty warrior. Look at verse 11. Uzziah had an army equipped for combat that went out to war by division according to their assignments. This army that he had was structured down to the T. Those of you who have served in the military, there's some sorry unorganized armies in there, those who are very strong, very disciplined, and will take out whoever they come against, and people fear them. That's the kind of military warrior that he was. If you look at verse 12, the total number of family heads was 2,600 valiant warriors. These were the guys who were in charge of their portions of the army. In verse 13, under the authority was an army of 307,500 people equipped to combat. They were a powerful force to help the king against the enemy. Who gave him that army to help him? It was God. It was God. Look at verse 14. Uzziah provided the entire army with shields, spears, helmets, armor, bows, and sling stones. When Israel first began to fight, when they came over the Red Sea, they basically had a whole bunch of farm equipment. Not a lot of swords. The people in Philistine were some of the greatest armorers in the world. They're the ones that had the best armor. Israel didn't have that. And here in Judah, he is giving them the top of the line equipment. So he had military strength and ingenuity. He had a sizable and well-equipped army. Look at verse 15. He made skillfully designed things. He says he made devices in Jerusalem invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners to shoot arrows and large stones. If you've ever seen any of those ancient movies where they had the rocks with a fire, just firing at a place, knocking walls down. Those things come from him. He was innovative. He's like some of our innovators today, that when the United States no longer had a shuttle to send up in space, some private people came up with SpaceX, and they took people up in space. Private people who made airplanes, like the Wright brothers. He was that kind of an innovative guy. That's why he was so famous. But it was God who made him famous. So look what it says. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped by whom? Till he became strong. Uh-oh. He went a little too far. He had everything going for him. He was the Michael Jordan of his day. He was the Tiger Woods of his day. He was the JFK of his day. But he forgot who made him, who helped him reach his fame. His father, Joash, sought God while Jehoiada, his uncle, the priest, lived. Now you have another strong priest, Zechariah, who, as the scripture teaches us, understood the fear of God, steered Uzziah in the right direction. As long as Uzziah had this righteous guidance, God helped him with victories over his surrounding nations, bringing him to fame and prosperity. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. You see, the book of the law should have told him all along who gave him all of these things, who made him famous, who gave him the gifts and the ingenuity to do the work that he did. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says, and we should remember this verse. Don't you forget this verse for yourself. It says, this book of the law, talking to who? Joshua, as he is about to cross into the Jordan now that Moses was dead. This book of the law, the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall, it's binding, you shall meditate in it day and night. Well, I don't read the Bible much. No, we need to read the Bible a whole lot. We need to get in his word a whole lot. We need to hear his word preached a whole lot. We need to go to Sunday school and learn a whole lot. We need to go to Bible study in our own devotions. We need to meditate on it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. I don't know what's in it if I haven't read it. How can I walk with the Lord if I don't know what it says? If you don't have a map, how do you know where you're going? Where you going? Grandma's house. Where she live? I don't know. Where you going? I don't know. Here's a map, son, so you can know how to get to grandma's house. Here's a map to find out how to walk with God. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, Uzziah, for then you will make your way. What? Was he not a prosperous king, Uzziah? For then you will make your way prosperous, and then what? You will have what? Good success. You want prosperity in your life? I'm not talking about money, just money. You want to have success in your life? Guess what? You can't just sleep all day on it. Got to get in the word. And not only just get in it, but then you got to do what it says. He seemed to have forgotten that. Just like Josiah, his father, his grandfather, while Jehoiada the priest was living, he was doing all right. Evidently, Zechariah, his mentor, the priest, he didn't live as long as King Uzziah. the record of his earlier reign tells us about it all. So his fame spread far and wide. He was marvelously helped till he became strong. Would you look at point number three? Remember that lawyer that jumped out the plane? That arrogant somebody? Well, his pride led him to a fall. His pride led him to a fall. 2 Chronicles 26, verses 16 through 23. Galatians 6, 3. Proverbs 16, and verse 18. Azariah the priest, he had to rebuke the king in our story. Nathan, you remember him, the prophet who came to David? He had to rebuke David. David had murdered and committed adultery. Oh, Elijah, he had to rebuke Ahab. Sometimes we need to understand that no leader can be above being rebuked for being disobedient. Whether you're a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a dad or a mom, doesn't matter. Sometimes when we go astray, somebody has to rebuke us. Don't you remember what the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, about how the word of God is profitable for pointing out our doctrine, reproof, telling us when we have done wrong, for correction, once we've done wrong, how to get it right, and for right living or righteousness in living, how to keep walking so we don't mess up. That's what God's word is for. It's profitable to us. Look at in your Bibles in chapter 5, verse 16, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So it's a time to trust the Lord and not to lean onto our own understanding, because that'll get us in trouble. You see, Uzziah, as we read, he will become involved in something that is outside of his responsibility. He didn't stay in his lane and his calling, and he suffered the consequences of it because he was lifted up. He was not guilty of idolatry, so he remained distinct from the rest of the kings of Israel. Most of them, they were some sorry, idolatrous people, but not him. At least we know that about him as a good king. But his pride led to a fall. Look at verse 16. But when he became strong, his heart was what? Lifted up. Did you know that Satan was lifted up? Think about that. What happened to Satan? God booted him and a third of the angels out of heaven. You got to go. I don't care how many Grammy Awards you won, Mr. Superstar Musician Angel, get out. You lifted your heart up against me, God? Oh no, you got to go. He was strong, his heart was lifted up to what? His destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. He had no business being there. In the days of the Old Testament, the Levites, very good, the priests, they were in charge of temple duties. The priests are the ones and the only ones who could offer sacrifices and make offerings to God. in the temple. This must have been clear to King Uzziah, but with his heart all puffed up due to pride, he walked into the temple one day, ready to burn incense on the altar. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Sad verse for this guy. A verse that we need to remember. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty or arrogant, that's what haughty means, and a haughty or arrogant spirit before a fall. He's standing on the edge, getting ready to fall. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to, but he's making a choice. The priest in verse 17. Now remember, the king can go ask his soldiers to kill these guys. They're about to touch me. They're about to mess with me. Don't you see what I'm doing? I'm Mr. Big Shot. I'm the king. Look how great I am. Haven't you seen me on TV? And these guys telling me what I can't do in the house of God. Whoa. Whose house is it, Uzziah? The one who's helped you along the way. The one who gave you prosperity, who made you famous. It's his house. Now, if you come to my house to do whatever you want, I might smile. But when 911 comes, they're going to have to cart you out. I love you, but you just don't come to my house and just move in just because you want to. I love you, but I'll love you when you leave too. The priest Azariah, along with 80 brave. There's not 80 people in here. Think about 80 people coming against one king. Verse 18. They went after him. In verse 18, it says, they took their stand against King Uzziah and said, Uzziah, you have no right to offer incense to the Lord. Only the consecrated priest, the descendants of Aaron, have the right to offer incense. He wasn't even consecrated. He hadn't cleaned himself up. He just came as he was because he's the king. They said to him in verse 18, leave the sanctuary. They told him to get out. You got to go, for you have acted unfaithfully. You will not receive honor from who? The Lord God, who gave him fame and fortune. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. My friends, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. Look at what it says. If any of you think himself to be something, just in case you didn't know, I didn't just make this up myself. When he is nothing, he deceives himself. I saw a YouTube video of a guy who thought he was pretty good at martial arts. And he went up against a professional who's also an actor. His name is Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal just took him out in just a few seconds. He didn't last at all. He thought he was something. You just a movie actor. No, he's not just a movie actor. He's an expert at what he does. He took him out. We can't deceive ourselves. when we think we're more than we are. He thought himself to be more than he was. He forgot who gave him his prosperity and fame. Look at verse 19. There he was, Uzziah, with a fire pan in his hand to offer incense. He was enraged. In other words, he became arrogant. But when he became enraged with the priest, in the presence of the priest in the Lord's temple, pride goes with what? Look what happened. In the presence of the priest, verse 19, in the Lord's temple, beside the altar of incense, a skin disease broke out on his forehead. Verse 20. This is leprosy, by the way, which has a number of various skin diseases. When then Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests turned to him and saw that he was diseased in his forehead. You can't have leprosy if you're in a temple. Remember, God's lambs had to be without blemish? Lepers were not allowed in the temple. They had to live outside the city, remember? They rushed him out of there. They weren't asking anymore. They rushed him out. You got to go. You got to get out of God's house. He himself also hurried to get out, because who's the one who afflicted him? The same one who helped him, right? The same one who gave him prosperity and fame, right? That God. That God who he gave all these things to, as long as he was under the guidance of his mentor, as long as he was walking with the Lord, seeking God. Oh, but now he's decided to be disdaining against God's holy stuff. There's a problem. You remember Uzzah? Not Uzziah, but Uzzah. He and his brother were in a cart. They're carrying the Ark of God back to King David. And the oxen stumbled. And the Ark of God, which was holy. And there were certain directions of how to handle the Ark. And when the Ark stumbled, the cart stumbled with the Ark on it, he reached out his hand to steady the ark. And what happened to him? He died. Well, that seems mean. Okay, okay, that might seem mean to some people. All he did was try to help God. He didn't follow God's directions. God's law is not about emotion. It's about do what I say the way I say it. He did not do that. And as a result, that man died. Azariah the priest went after the king with the other priests to stop him from burning incense, because he was inviting the wrath of God. And King Uzziah was furious. He would not relent until God struck him with leprosy. It specifically says that this leprosy, this infectious disease that caused this severe disfiguring on his forehead, came from God. It revealed his folly. So verse 21 says, so King Uzziah was diseased at the time of his death. He lived in quarantine with a serious skin disease and was excluded from access to the house of God. He was cut off. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Verse 22. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from the first to the last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, wrote. You might remember in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, it talks about the days of Uzziah. And then remember in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in the year that Uzziah died. So his fame was like the fame of John F. Kennedy. I remember when he was killed in 1963. I remember when, on December 7th, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. these are days that people remember. He was that kind of famous, that the day he died was that sort of thing that people remember. So you'll find his name in several books, including Amos and also in the book of Isaiah. Verse 23, Uzziah rested with his ancestors, and he was buried with his ancestors in the burial ground of the king's cemetery, for they said he has a skin disease. He is a leper. Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. It's a sad summary. Pride crept into his heart. He disregarded God's servants. His uncontrolled and ungodly anger led him to seclusion, and the Lord smote him, and he became a leper, and he ended with a fall, with a disgraceful exit from the pages of history. Pride made him disregard the temple boundaries that God had put in place. He wasn't content with just being a king. He tried to prove that he could be the high priest as well, something that God did not call him to. Only Jesus can serve that role. Only Jesus could be both king and priest and prophet. Jesus was the faithful witness as a prophet. He was also the firstborn of the dead as a priest and the ruler of things on earth, king. Only King Jesus could have the threefold office of both prophet, priest, and king. See, pride makes us think that we're above God, above God's law, and we can do whatever we please. But the Bible tells us that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves in James 4:10 in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. Proverbs 22 and verse 4 says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. Humility is a grace that attracts more grace. Pride closes the door to spiritual growth. Humility opens the gate of your life to more of God's grace. And to the humble, God gives patience and peace and gentleness. Those are the fruits of the Spirit when we plant them in the soil of humility. Conclusion. You might want to remember this verse, Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The result of learning what's in the Old Testament, what's in the New Testament, was written by God, that we might have hope. This is a story that I hope you'll remember, because we don't have to suffer judgment like King Uzziah did. John, 1 John 1:9 says, if we're guilty of pride, and basically all of us at some point will have pride in our lives. We know that. That's not a secret. God will forgive us, and he'll help us to walk in humility, just like his son. Everything is for his glory. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, do it all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Learn that lesson from Uzziah and apply it to your life. Let us pray.